This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Or the scholars weren't there and they wanted to play around with things. What do they start with? They're going to drop the most difficult ritual of all. So fasting in general, whether it was Ramadan or not, because I don't know that it was Ramadan, by the way. I'm not claiming that. I'm just saying that the concept of fasting existed in all of the faiths, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the verse, the first thing to go. The first thing to go from the deening is fasting, because it's way too difficult. You know, because even now, as I talk to you about Ramadan, there's a part of you that's worrying about it. Don't lie. Don't act like you're every person here. There's a little piece of you that's worried about Ramadan. Worried about how they're going to get through Ramadan and wondering if this they're going to be able to do it. And then thinking, my lunch, my tea or coffee in the morning. How am I going to, my sleeping schedule. Everyone's worried about it a little bit. Funnily enough, everyone gets through it and they're fine. But that piece of you is because the nafs is okay with a lot of stuff. Like the nafs can put up with different disciplinary activities that you do. You force it to do certain things, but then you tell it that you can't eat and drink when you're starving or you're thirsty. That's where the nafs wants to draw the line. Say, no, that's enough. Yeah, khalas, I understand. We pray fimna, we read Quran. I don't want to do any of this stuff. I'm doing it because you want to do it. I'm letting you do it. But why? Why this? Why not eating and drinking? We're starving, we're working. So the nafs doesn't like it at all. The first thing to go almost in every faith. In our deen, not only is it still here, it's actually one of the most beautiful times of the year. And everyone knows, when you look back at your life, when you look back into your past, Ramadan always has a good memory attached to it. Always, almost always. You can't say that about any other month. If I ask you about any other month, what good memories do you have? You don't know. You don't even know what those months are. But you have a good memory always attached to some Ramadan that you spent some time in the past because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offers us within that month. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And the goal of us decreeing it upon you was for you to find piety. التَّقْوَى. التَّقْوَى. To be able to discipline yourself to the point where you have that safety valve, that preventative measures that will allow you to make decisions better in your life. Taqwa is very simple. It's a very simple system. It's just the question before you say something or do something. Will this harm me short term or long term? Will it cause me harm in dunya or in akhirah? Now in my life now or later in my life? Will it cause me any form of harm? If the answer is yes, then you don't do it. If the answer is no, then you go ahead. It doesn't necessarily have to be beneficial. It could be something that's neutral, neither beneficial nor harmful. Taqwa doesn't care about the neutral piece. Taqwa is just there to help you not fall into something that will be harmful. It just holds you back from the hellfire, inshallah. It holds you back from doing something that later on you'll regret in your life. And if you learn to build that, if you can have that in your life, that will, inshallah, take you very far. Because wherever you are, you'll always, before you do something, say something, engage in any activity or in an endeavor, you ask the question, is this, how safe is this? Am I going to later on pay for it? Am I going to look back and feel that was a bad decision? And if you're able to kind of take that moment and then say, oh, nope, I'm not going to do that, then you're safe. Which is why taqwa is the answer here. So when I think about Ramadan, I think about these four things from a philosophical perspective. Think about why we're fasting. Oops. The first one is the importance of learning self-discipline. Ramadan is about self-discipline. If you notice what's going on, if you pay attention to what's happening during the day of Ramadan, you understand what you're about. I teach a lot of tazkiyah sessions. And tazkiyah is important. You have to learn about yourself. You have to understand your spirit and your soul and your subconsciousness and your consciousness and your conscious itself. You have to know what these things are. And you have to understand how they work together. You have to be able to tease out what's happening on the inside because it's quite noisy inside of you. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but it's quite noisy. There's a lot of things going on. You don't get a lot of quiet, peace and quiet inside, especially if you want to do something that's important to you, that's a little bit difficult or that is not necessarily enjoyable or that requires a lot of sacrifice or a lot of discipline. The nafs doesn't want to do it. You don't want to do it. Don't you ask yourself that question? Why is it that if I know something's helpful, I have the tools to do it, I want to do it, but I don't do it. It's an insane equation. It's a very crazy equation. Why is it? Unless someone's holding a knife to your throat or a gun to your head, it doesn't make any sense. If you have the tools, you know it's helpful, you want to do it, then why can't you get it done? Because there's a struggle on the inside that we don't really notice. We don't take interest in. There's someone on the inside that is sitting behind the steering wheel and they're calling a lot of the shots. And they like to lead you on to think that you're making the shots, but you're not. You're not really, because the nafs does a lot of it. Ramadan comes and teaches a little bit of self-discipline. It's like a boost of self. You can call the shots. Because the nafs wants to eat all day long. It wants to drink all day long too. It doesn't want to fast even for a moment. It doesn't see the point of it. 10 times out of 10, you bring any animal that is healthy. We're all mammals. You bring any mammal that is healthy, and you present it with food that it wants and is hungry, it'll eat 10 times out of 10. The only time it won't happen is if it's a human being and they're fasting. That's the only time it won't. It's the only time if you're hungry and you're healthy and that's the food you eat, then you're gonna go for it. When you're fasting, for a reason that is beyond science and beyond what is scripted, there's a reason for you to say no. No one else can tell you to do that, by the way, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one has the authority to look at you and say, okay, 30 days straight, all day long, you are hungry. Understood? All day long, you're hungry and you're thirsty. And if you're married, you stay away from your wife. All day long, for 30 days straight. Who has the authority to say that to you? And who's keeping track? Who's keeping track? If you go home and you take a big jug of water and walk into the closet, and chug it down and walk out, who cares? Who saw you? There's no police. Or you think I'm going to show up at your door with some armed officers and take you away? There's no one knows. No one, you can act like you're fasting all month. No one's going to care. No one's going to ask. No one knows. It's something between you and Allah. It's the most specific thing that you do. The only way you can do it is if you have some self-discipline. I want you to notice the ability that you have. You have the ability to discipline yourself, to tell your nafs, no, we're not doing this. And the nafs will listen. It's not impossible. It's very doable. Ramadan just teaches you, no, you can do it. Here's an example. Here's 30 days. And for 30 days straight, you go to work, and you're starving, and you're fine. Because you do have the ability. It's just the question. So it's not this, what Ramadan teaches you is, it's not, the question is not, can you? The question is, will you? Right? Is that's what Ramadan teaches. Ramadan just takes this word and replaces it for you. You can't walk around saying that I can't. No, you can. The question is, will you? That's all. And they're very different questions with very different answers attached to them. Ramadan teaches us that there's a difference between what we want and what we need. What we want is everything. You want it all. And you want more of it all the time. You always want more. There's always room for improvement, whether it's your house, whether it's your car, whether it's your relationships, whether it's your wealth, whether it's your status, whatever it is, there's always room for you to be better, for you to have more, for you to climb higher on that ladder of power or ladder of significance and importance. There's always a way to be better. And the nafs always wants more of it. Tell me anyone who's sitting saying, nope, I'm good. I don't want anything else. I don't want any more. I don't want to be promoted anymore. I don't want to be paid any more money. I don't want anything more. I'm happy that person died a long time ago. That no one's like that. Everyone wants more. And that's fine. Allah's not here to argue that with you. It's just to tell you that what you want and what you need are not the same things. Just know that what you don't need that much. If you're able for 3 days straight to get through a full day of work or a full day of schooling without drinking water or eating or nibbling on anything, that means when you're eating throughout the day and other days, you don't necessarily need it, you just want it. And that's okay. Islam is not about taking away from you what you want. It's about making sure you have clarity. It's just that you have clarity. You know that I want it, but I don't necessarily need it. So be careful when you use the word I need. Yeah, especially when you're younger. Oh, I need this. You need it. Let's stop the car. Hit the brakes. Pull the... you need... What do you mean you need? Define that. What does that mean? The people of Gaza need. Yeah, they can say we need, for sure. They're starving. They can say we need. You and I, what do we need? We want, that's okay. But it doesn't mean we need. And Ramadan is very, very good at clarifying those two things. It separates them because the nafs puts them, kind of blurs them together. Kind of blurs the lines and merges them. So to you, what you want and what you need are the same thing. So you got upset. I need that. No, you want it, but you just put them together now and you're going to get all upset about it. But no, Ramadan comes and puts them together. No. This is what you need. This is what you want. That's fine. But this is all you need. You can get through 30 days of no food and drink all day long. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And you are. You worry now before Ramadan a bit, and then you go into Ramadan, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. Have a headache the first day, second day, and then you're used to it. Tell me, anyone here, does anyone here find the last day of Siyam of Ramadan difficult as the first day is? The last day is a walk in the park. You don't even think about the last day. You're worried about the first 2 or 3 days when you have that lack of caffeine headache, right? When you don't get your bagel at 12 o'clock on lunchtime, or when you come home at 5 o'clock hungry as a horse and you're not going to eat for a couple of more hours. That's what you're worried about. But then a few days in, it doesn't matter anymore because you're used to it, because the nafs is very adaptable. And we just don't want it to adapt to something better. We just keep it the way it is. And again, it's not about forcing you to, it's just so you understand that there's a difference between the two. All of the great battles, historically, many of them at least, happened in Ramadan. That first Ramadan, I'm gonna do something for you. That first Ramadan, huh? This is a something I made up. The second year of Hijrah was the first time the Sahaba heard the word Siyam, right? It would happen in the second year, and Badr would be right then and there. Right then and there. It would start with that. Of course, Badr happened in Ramadan, Fatah Makkah happened in Ramadan, Hattin happened in Ramadan, Ain Jalut happened in Ramadan. All these great great battles occurred in Ramadan. Muslims went in fasting. But I always imagine that first Ramadan with Badr, the Sahaba hearing these verses and asking the Prophet alayhi salam, you say what? We're going to do what? We're going to fast. Like fast from what? Like drink, water, anything that comes into your mouth, liquids or solids. Like every day? Yep, every day. Like during the day? Yeah, during the day. You mean when we're going to work and stuff, and like in the middle of this, have you ever been to Saudi Arabia and stood outside at 12 o'clock in the noon? You understand what the sun can do to you? You can fry an egg on your, if you're bald, you can fry an egg on your head, no problem. Very easy. So these people are working, they're all farmers or they're shepherds, they're outside in the midst of the sun, and they're being told, yeah, no, you know, food and drink. Ya Rasulullah, are you sure? Can you check again? How long? How many days? Once? Like just today? No, 30 days. This year? No, every year. Nah, you're kidding me. No, every year. And we're going to go out to a battle. We're going to fight fasting. All right. So they went. What a lesson for them, right? What a, extracurricular activity to go on. I can't even imagine. We always forget that Badr happened during Ramadan. And we tell the story of Badr. I'm guilty of that. I love the Battle of Badr. And I tell it over me 4 or 5 weeks. I love going to details. I always forget to point out it's Ramadan. They were fasting, by the way. This was the first Ramadan they ever, it wasn't even the second one. It's not like they got a first Ramadan to warm up and get used to it. No, the first Ramadan, go, you're going to go fight the biggest battle that you'll ever fight for the rest of your lives. The most important and significant moment in the history of the Muslim Ummah will occur in the first Ramadan while people are fasting. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, just an amazing beginning. Because that's how he sees it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is a time for productivity, to go and do better, not worse. It's a time where you actually get to shine. You got to bring the best out of you, not the worst. You know, when you're fasting, right, and someone, the hadith is that someone says something bad to you, then you say, inni sa'im, right? So we use it as a threat, you know? Someone says to you, inni sa'im, huh? And I'll sa'im. This is the last warning to you, I'm fasting. As if it means that, look, I have no patience, I have no perseverance. No, it's the opposite. If you're fasting, that means I will not engage in any form of negative behavior. I won't say anything bad. I won't listen to anything bad. I won't get into a fight. I won't allow my ego to get the best of me because I'm fasting. Because this is the time where I get to draw myself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan gets us to appreciate our blessings a little bit more. It puts us in that mentality where we feel, here's what I always think. The best day of the year for me at work is the first day of work right after Ramadan. Right? So I had 30 days of fasting, going to work every day in clinics, to work to everyone. And then Ramadan's over, so I go to work. And I am the happiest person on the planet. I don't know what all these people are complaining about. I don't know why they're all upset about Monday coming and dragging their feet. I am happy. I can have my tea this morning. I'm going to have lunch later. Why are you so upset? This is amazing. I did this for 30 days starving. And Ramadan gets you to appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. You don't get more. You see, it's all about expectations, right? In life, it's just about expectations. If you're expecting 100 and you get 90, you're upset. You're disgruntled. You're sitting there feeling like you were ripped off. But if you're expecting 10 and you get 90, you're as happy as can be. You feel like they're the biggest winner in the world. It's important. Ramadan just pulls back these unrealistic expectations. We do it to our children. We get upset when our children have unrealistic expectations. When you've worked all of your life to make sure they have a house above their heads, they're going to a good school, they get to eat good food, they are protected, they're safe, they're not abused, and they have their own room, for God's sake, they have their own bed, they're not sleeping with someone else. For you, you've done a lot for your kids, and then they expect more. You pull the whatever hair you have left out of your head, because why are you expecting more? Why are you so entitled? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And the exalted example is for Allah. It's no different. We are no different with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than our children are with us. Wallahi, no different. We just keep on asking for more. And the moment He does not give us the full platter, that's all we see. That's all we see. It's just that whatever was missing, that last piece that didn't come through, the moment of frustration, the failure. For God's sake, your whole life has just been a story of things working out without you being involved. There's an infinite amount of ways that things to go wrong for you. Alhamdulillah, you sit here, you're healthy, you're able to function, you're a Muslim. And then one thing goes wrong. One thing. And then you're not happy anymore. And you start asking, and then you want to meet with the sheikh to ask him, why did God do this to me? As if I have a catalog for you to explain to you why. Ramadan just reminds you, just pull back your expectations a bit. You can survive with less, and a lot of this could have taken away. You see, you fast voluntarily. What about the people who fast involuntarily? They fast because they don't have access to fresh water or to healthy food. Or they're ill. I'm an oncologist. People who have cancer can't eat. They don't have an appetite. They can't. They want to eat, but they'll vomit it all up. They can't, which is because their body is rejecting food because something horrible is growing on the inside. The body doesn't want to feed it anymore. So they can't eat. They're sitting in front of a good meal and they can't eat it. And they can't enjoy it. And they can't even smell it. The expectations we have in this life have to be refined a little bit. You have to go back and revamp them and kind of revisit them. Take a look at them again. Ramadan reminds you that maybe pull down a bit. Maybe instead of expecting more from Allah, expect a little bit more from yourself. It's obvious you can do more. It's obvious you can do more. Here, I held food back from you and water, and you still did fine. So it's obvious that you can do more. Because if you can do this much without food and water, if I give you food and water, doesn't it make sense that you do more? Doesn't it make sense? Here's more. You do more. So maybe instead of expecting more from Allah, maybe expect a little bit more from yourself. And that's what this does, what teaches. You appreciate blessings. You learn a little bit of empathy. The person who fasts should have the most empathy in their heart, not the least. They shouldn't be the people who are pounding on their horn, breaking off in traffic and yelling at people and giving them. No, it's the person who feels the pain of hunger. So he or she thinks of those who are hungry and they feel for them. This is an ugly feeling. I don't want anyone to feel like this. I don't want anyone to feel like this. This is a horrible feeling. That's what fasting does. It teaches you a little bit of empathy. Yeah, maybe I should think beyond myself. Maybe I should start thinking about those who don't have access to these things. Maybe I dedicate my life towards becoming someone who has a voice and has a status, and so I can be their voice. I can do something for them. I can make sure that children don't go hungry and people don't lose their basic rights and are sitting there waiting for someone to offer them nourishment or hydration. And that's what Ramadan is supposed to do. But this is the philosophy of fasting. This is why we're fasting. We're fasting for these goals. I beg you. Wallahi, just think about these things so you can benefit from what you're coming up to. Because if you go through Ramadan feeling upset, feeling sorry for yourself, that you're hungry, that all your other friends and your co-workers and your colleagues are eating and drinking and you're not, and feeling like I deserve to rest, and I deserve time off, and I deserve to be given a second, I deserve people's empathy because I'm hungry. Change that a little bit. Wallahi, for your own sake, change that a little bit, and learn from this philosophy that you're stronger than you know. You're more capable than you know. Your potential is way more than you know. Expect less from your environment, and expect less from Allah, who has given you a lot already, and expect more from yourself. Wallahi, it's very healthy. Not only physically, it's also mentally, extremely healthy way to live. And that's what Ramadan is there for. But then if you sleep all night if you sleep all day and you're up all night and you're overeating throughout the month, like Ramadan, you're supposed to lose weight because you don't eat as much. This is where I'll lose you. I'm going to hold on to you for a few more minutes and then I'll lose you at the end, inshallah. Ramadan is a large adjustment. Those who attend my halaqa, my tazkiyah sessions know. Ramadan is a large adjustment. You can't build good habits with large adjustments. Learn this from me. This is very helpful for you in your life. Good habits are built through small adjustments, small changes, baby steps, things that you repeat on a daily basis for a long time that are really small. Then you expand them slowly. But if you have bad habits, you get rid of them with large adjustments. Someone who is addicted to a substance, historically speaking, they try two approaches. They tried, okay, let's cut down. Let's do it slowly, all right? You're drinking this much of alcohol a day, drink this much and we cut it down. Or if you're doing this much of cocaine or weed or whatever, it didn't work. The only way it works is you stop cold turkey, you go to rehab, and you struggle and suffer, and then you're off and you never touch it again. It's the only way for a bad habit to be broken, is you have to just stop it. And it's hard because that's a large adjustment to your lifestyle. And that's what Ramadan specializes in. Think about this for the next 2 weeks. Yeah? Ramadan is here to rid you of bad habits. That's what I want you to look at it that way. If you do it well, if you do Ramadan appropriately, like you fast the way you're supposed to fast, and you attend Fajr, and you pray Taraweeh, and you do Quran, and we'll talk about the plan, inshallah. You do it all right, then it's very hard to hold on to a bad habit. You have to be a professional. Like, you have to work hard. I tip my hat for you. If you're able to do Ramadan well and still hold on to a bad habit, because it's very difficult, it's almost impossible. Ramadan is designed to take away your ability to have a bad habit, and that's what it's there for. It's there to rid you of bad habits, not necessarily good habits. Like, it's not necessarily there, because you can't. Can you fast every day after Ramadan? No. Are you expected to? No. Can you pray every single night Taraweeh after Ramadan? No. Are you expected to? No. You're not. This is specific. This is a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon the hearts of his servants, and they come running. That's it. They just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's something in the air, and they just come to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our job is obviously to make it welcoming and make people feel at home, and inshallah they keep on coming afterwards. That's our role, inshallah ta'ala. The idea is that what He does, He brings people. You can't duplicate that after Ramadan. Huh? You pray Taraweeh or Ramadan, and then you say, okay, let's do one Qiyam on a Saturday. Is it the same? We've been doing it for a year. Maybe four poor fellows stand here, and maybe a lady at the end. That's it. And they're not, and they're like just trying to get through it. Because there's something about that time. He just brings people's hearts in, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the hearts of his servants come closer to Him. And it's there to help you get rid of these bad habits. It's a large adjustment. Use it appropriately. Think and write down your bad habits for your own sake. Think about them. What are they? What do I never want to do again? Now, if you can't think of that, then you have bigger problems than you even know. If you're not able to come up with what your bad habits are, what is it that you want to get rid of in your life, then you have to rethink your whole existence. We all have bad habits. It's part of being alive. And Ramadan, if you use it appropriately, will help you get rid of bad habits. Allahu ta'ala alam. This is what I want you to change in terms of your attitude. It's not despite fasting. You don't say, oh, I'm going to go to work in spite of the fact that I'm fasting. Oh, I'm going to be a good person today, even though I'm fasting. Oh, I'm going to be kind and patient, despite the fact that I'm starving. No. Please, that's garbage language. We're going to get rid of all that. No, you're going to do it because you're fasting. It's because you're fasting. It's not despite fasting. We have played around a little bit with our terminology as Muslims. Well, we have, in so many ways, and I try to point these things out as much as I can, because these attitudes actually mean a lot. You're a Muslim, you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the difficulties. Your belief in Allah strengthens with difficulties. You don't believe in Allah despite life being difficult. You don't hold on to your faith despite the trials. No. You hold on to your faith because of them. We believe in Allah because there are difficulties. And the more the difficulties come by, the more we believe in Allah. And the more we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how this works. When you flip the terminology, you're drilling a hole in the fundamental core of what Islam is. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. The people think they're going to walk around saying we believe in Allah and they were not going to be put to the test. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says, يُبْتَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالصَّالِحُونَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ وَأَشَدُّ النَّاسِ ابْتِلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءُ. The people who are tested the most in life are the Anbiya. And then the pious. And then the better. And then the better. And it's ranked by piety. The more pious you are, the more he will test you. So we don't believe in Allah despite difficulties and pain. We believe in Allah because of difficulties and pain. And we're not going to be good in Ramadan despite fasting. We're going to be good in Ramadan because we're fasting. Can you make that flip? Can you take enough time contemplating what I just said so that you can have that mental change? That mental change, if you have it, then you don't need to attend any of the words of the halaqat. You're good. You're good. You're good forever. Because you see fasting and you see Ramadan as, it's like your mountain. It's the source of your strength. It's not the cause of your weakness. You're not fighting against Ramadan. You're using the power of this month, the power of fasting, for you to be a better person in your life. And that's what I think is worth thinking about. Ever heard of this term? Any biology majors here? You know what gluconeogenesis is? So your poor liver. Now, your poor liver. Now, this dude sits there in your right side of your abdomen. And he is very talented. He has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. He is a chemist of the highest rank, and he can do a lot with what's going through the blood. But the liver can only do so much when you're shoveling donuts down your esophagus all the time. Like if every couple of hours something is going down, your liver doesn't see the point anymore. Like there's no need. I have all these tools in my lab. I can move fat, and I can take carbohydrates, and I can take sugar. And I can keep everyone happy. The brain, what you need, I'll get it for you. No problem. I can use all these things. But then after a couple of years of eating all the time, your liver sits there almost unemployed, or it's like al muwaffaqin fil bilad al arabiya. You know, it's like the governmental employed people in Arabic countries. They sit in these desks doing nothing all day long. Nothing, absolutely nothing. They just eat and drink and they make their food and they're preparing their stuff. They don't do it. There's no work at all. There's no work to be done. Your liver becomes lazy because there's no need for it to do anything anymore. And then even the liver becomes fatty. Ever heard of fatty livers? It's a very, very well-known disease. It kills a lot of people eventually. But your liver has this little trick. If after a couple of hours of nothing coming down, your brain's like, hey, it's getting a bit hot up here. Can someone send? We need some fuel. We're running out. The stomach is like, I know. I'm telling him. He ain't listening. I don't know. We just walked by all this food. It was a cookie right there. No one claimed it. I don't know why. I told him I wanted it. He didn't pick it up. The water was there. He's not. I don't know what to tell you. I'm making him as hungry as humanly possible for you. So now the stomach and the brain are arguing back and forth, and the pancreas is like, well, I don't know how much more I can hold back this insulin before I kill you. And there's all, so they turn to Mr. Liver, and they ask him if he has a trick up his sleeve. And he does. And he can go and he can start getting you power from the inside. It's an internal source of power. You never needed an external one. You always had the ability to. You can run on the liver's gluconeogenesis for days, for weeks, for months. Some of us have eaten enough food like for a year in advance. Yani, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We don't feel too well, but we'll be fine. I know I have at least a couple of months in me. If I don't, I'll survive. But if it's not given the chance. You know why I love this? Because it's even biologically, it's telling you the source of your power is internal. Meaning you have internal sources of power. You don't need to keep on. No, you don't. Just stop for a second. Just stop shoveling stuff down for a moment. You have way more than it. And you can bring that power, that energy from within. It's all set up. You always did. You always could. You always had the ability to generate power and energy from the inside. You didn't need an external source. You never had to be dependent on it. I find that be very poetic, even on a biological level. This is very beautiful. That Ramadan is there to remind you there's way more to you than even you are willing to admit. Fast like you just accepted Islam, all right? I'm just giving you things to think about. Fast when Ramadan comes as if it's the first time ever. I want you to forget all the Ramadans before. I want you to consider yourself new to Islam. New, just everything is new. Sometimes it's very healthy. I do this all the time. I go online and I look for people who just accepted Islam talking about their experience. And it puts me to tears every time. Because they say things about Islam that I've been taking for granted for years and years and years. Stuff that I don't even think about anymore. Things that I don't even feel are valuable. I just, because I do it all the time, it's a part of my upbringing. I was born into this, so my parents made me do it. But then you see someone who this is new to them. And they're being introduced to Salah for the first time. They make sujood for the first time. They read Fatiha and they actually read the meaning of Fatiha. Not as someone who has been studying Fatiha for 50 years, who's read like multiple volumes on it. No, someone just the first time reading just a translation. And their take on it is just so raw and unique. When it comes to fasting, it's the same thing. The concept is so odd. It's so, I want to say weird, but it's just so original. It's authentic. What is this? All day long. And then they try it. Anyone here have, I don't want to say white friends, but non-Muslim friends who are like amazed by the fact that you fast, like just amazed by it. And then they try a day or something, right? They try a day or something, and then they're like, wow, this is insane. It's helpful for you. Wallahi, that you benefit from that way more than they do. You feel like, wow, mashallah, I'm actually doing pretty well by being able to do this because there's something beautiful about what you do. So fast as if Islam is new to you, as this is the first year that you're being exposed. Fast like the Sahaba did that first year. Fast as they were being told that they have to go into the Battle of Badr while fasting. Think about that. And then think of, Yani, what that may mean to you. Remember when that picture came out 2 years ago? It was really cool. First picture of a black hole. That's what we have on the inside. No? It's a part, it's something that we have inside of us. We all do. The black hole, the reason I use it is because what it does, as far as we can tell in the universe, Wallahu A'lam, this is what astrophysicists think, is that it's antimatter, and it basically just swallows everything. It can swallow not only universes, planets, it can swallow solar systems and full galaxies. It has they don't understand how, but that's what it is. And there's no end to how much you can actually take inside of it. And we all have that inside of us. There is no end to how much you want. And there is this emptiness that we carry on the inside, all of us. We all do. Whether physically with the pouch of the stomach that we got that's empty, or the spirit itself, we have this emptiness, and no matter what we throw on it or throw into it, hoping to fill it up, to satisfy it, or to quiet it down, the hungrier it gets. Some people throw food and travel, and some people throw play and parties and games, and some people throw alcohol and substance abuse. And they're throwing things at it, or just being a workaholic, just not having no time, just hoping that this emptiness that just gnaws away at you when you're alone will go away. It just gets hungrier. And people just get more and more anxious and more depressed and more unsatisfied with your lives. The only thing that fills that emptiness is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. It's Allah jalla jalla. It's knowing Allah. It's being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why he brings Ramadan to, like, think about it. He could have made the blessed month where we're close to Allah without the fasting, right? Just think about it. He didn't have to have fasting. We could have Taraweeh, and we could have like all these rituals and all this beautiful Abwab al-Jannah tuftah, Abwab al-Nar tughlaq, all these details happen, but you don't have to fast. He wanted to happen during fasting so that you remove a lot of these distractions. Like what? Like food and drink, for example. If that's a distraction, then everything else, what are you going to call everything else? If food and drink, your basic needs, are called a distraction, or the way that they're being approached in Ramadan, as if so you don't need that, don't get distracted, then what are you going to call other stuff that we do? Our other pastimes that we engage in. He wants you to put all that away and just focus. Just focus on Allah and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how you're going to feel fulfilled. And it's not food, and it's not drink, and it's not leisure. It's not having more or owning more or being more powerful or being more famous. Or everyone who went after something in dunya and got it was really disappointed after they got it. My hand to God, I swear to you, wallahi, every single person who went after something in dunya and finally got it, ask them now. And they're like, yeah, was it worth it? And they'll say, yeah. Don't ask me the question. I don't want to come off as ungrateful to Allah, alhamdulillah, but was it worth it? They don't feel it that way. Nothing is worth going after besides the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't mean that you're not ambitious in life, but you become ambitious for a different reason. You become ambitious not so you can satisfy that emptiness. You become ambitious because you want to use whatever you achieve to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the trick. And that's what we have, that's what Ramadan is here to teach. That's the philosophy of fasting. That there's that emptiness on the inside. You've been shoveling. Stop for a second. It doesn't go away. It doesn't get bigger or smaller. It stays the same. You want to change it? Pray at night. And then one night in Taraweeh, you'll make a sujood and you'll bawl your eyes out and you'll feel like that was the most valuable moment of your entire life because you're at peace with yourself. Because you were honest and you were clear and you're direct and there was no masks anymore and there was no lying and there was that serenity and that tranquility and that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else means nothing. Everything else is just it's there. Use it well. Ramadan reminds, just use it for what it's for. Don't be enslaved by it. Food is there for your needs, not for you to be running after it all the time, looking for it. It's not worth living that way. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Allahumma balighna Ramadan ajma'in. That is what I wanted to share with you. But here, now I can lose you. I'll say it at the end because we're done. So I can lose you. So when we talk about this idea of fasting, try this. Try fasting, and then act. Be quiet. I know you don't want to. You want to hear me say this. You're gonna hear this anyways. Every year I say this, and the shabab don't like it. No, sorry, they don't like it. I tell them every year, they don't do it. Fast, and then at the Maghrib, break your fast, have a few dates, drink some water, a little soup, and then pray Maghrib and go to the masjid. All right? Try it. Just try it. Just, ya akhi, try it once. Try it once and see. Do you die? All right, what happens? Nothing happens. Actually, you have probably the best night of Taraweeh in your life. If you fill up this tank at Maghrib and come for Taraweeh, aside from the fact every couple of seconds you are burping and causing a public health hazard, and almost knocking people on their feet, you're also half intoxicated because of all the food you have on the inside. You cannot enjoy the Quran. You can't hear what's being said. You just want the imam to be done. And you want to go home. Try fasting because the concept of fasting is you eat less. Eat less. So eat less. Don't add it all up to Maghrib. Don't say, okay, I eat this much. I usually eat this much for breakfast and this much for lunch and this much for ghada. And then Fuhur comes and I eat all of it then. And then have Sahur later on. That's not going to help. You're going to gain weight and feel miserable throughout the whole month. But eat less and try it this way. Try to dissociate your fasting from the promise of food at Maghrib. Now break your fast. It's actually sunnah to break your fast immediately at Adhan al-Maghrib. Immediately, not a second late. But try to eat less and see how that goes for you. I've been doing this for over 19 years now. It's not hard at all. It gives you a completely different understanding of fasting. It puts you in a different mindset. And I ask people to try it every year. And no one ever tried it. Yeah, anyone who tries it, they have to come back and complain to me about it. And it's fine. It's not difficult to do. And it actually helps you a lot because you don't have as much time to eat. Yeah, and if you're after Taraweeh, you can barely eat a little bit, then you don't have any appetite on Suhoor, so you have a few. So you eat less, and at the end of Ramadan, you feel much more energized because you're not eating as much and you have a better. So try that, inshallah, this Ramadan. And let me know how your experience is. And what we'll do is, what I'm going to do, so this is actually official, I'm going to put a QR code for you to put in your experience with doing this. All right? And we'll see how many people actually put in experience, which will probably be very, very, very few people. Do we have? We're good. Okay. So we're good. Just for the kids who attended, Jazakumullah Khair, or even everyone else who attended, we'll have like a few minutes of a kahoot just to answer some of the questions. Then we'll go for Salat al-Isha, inshallah. Tomorrow will be the second session of talking about Siyam. We'll talk about the bounties of Ramadan. Make sure you have the posters. Tomorrow morning is the final post-Fajr potluck. I'll give the final dars and we'll have breakfast and then we'll be off until after Ramadan, inshallah. So please, you're welcome to come and participate, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Ali. You got that one? Okay. Yeah.
سلام السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. Okay. We're gonna do a Kahoot quick before Aisha, inshallah. So for those of you who can't see the code in the back, it's 3507978. So join as soon as possible. That way we can get it done before the adhan, inshallah. Or sorry, the aqama. Today's prize is gonna be chocolate. Chocolate. So if you win after salah, after the khatira, you can go get the prize from the office, inshallah, in the back. By 7:38, we're gonna start, inshallah. Okay? 7:30, maybe 30 seconds. In 30 seconds. Does anyone need any more time? Raise your hand if you need more time to join the game. Okay, quick. The code's 3507978. Okay. Ready? Ready? Okay. Yalla. So hopefully you've been paying attention, because the questions came directly from today's halaqa, inshallah. So, question number one. The worst vessel you can fill is your blank. What is it? Is it your mind, your stomach, your car, or your hands? Sheikh Anan said this today. Stomach is correct. Let's see the leaderboard. We have Yusuf in first, Yasir and Ali in second, Lulu in third, MWN VIP in fourth. Okay, true or false? Fasting is commonly practiced through all three Abrahamic religions. Practiced. Is fasting practiced by all three religions? True or false? This was mentioned. False. It's false because even if it's mandated, it's not practiced right now. Sheikh Anan said that. Yes, it is how it works. Okay, Ramadan Muslim. It's okay. Question three. What surah is Ramadan mentioned in the Quran? Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Kahf, or Surah Al-Baqarah? What surah is Ramadan mentioned in the Quran? Baqarah is correct. Okay, let's see the leaderboard. We have Yasir and Ali in first, Lulu in second, Bara in third, mashallah. Okay, question number four. The sunnah is for your stomach to be filled with 2/3 of food and 1/3 of water. Is that true or is that false? 2/3 food, 1/3 water. True or false? False. So 1/3 water. Sorry, 1/3 food, 1/3 water, 1/3 air. False. Okay, there's the leaderboard. Go to the next question. Quick order. Ramadan is about learning self-discipline, how to survive with no food, how to lose weight, or what we want as humans. What is Ramadan about learning? Self-discipline is correct. Leaderboard is the same. MashaAllah. Which of the major battles did not occur in Ramadan? This one is not particularly mentioned in the halakha, but it's a test of your seerah knowledge. Badr, Fatah, Mecca, Khandaq, or Hattin. Which of these four was not, did not occur in the month of Ramadan at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's Khandaq. The other three were on the slides, to be fair. The other three were on the slides. Okay, now we have the first two still there, and Suhaib in third, Ayman in fourth, and Ibrahim in fifth. MashaAllah. Okay, next question. Ramadan teaches us the difference between what we want